There's five of us working on this project, myself, Peter Scharf, Lucy Olivier, and David Dunn and Earl Vores. David and I are doing a lot of the soil part, and Peter and Earl probably are doing more of the sensor electronic part of it. So it's really a good team effort. We're working on this. When Peter developed these slide sets, this slide set really is more for a group that maybe doesn't realize so much about cotton. Cotton, you have the danger of over-fertilizing or under-fertilizing. Of course, if you under-fertilize, you cut yields. If you over-fertilize, you have a danger of rank growth, problem with defoliation, insecticides, and of course, just wasting money. The objective of this project is to calibrate canopy reflectance sensors to predict the amount of nitrogen fertilizers needed for crop. And Earl and Peter and Dave and I started this project, I guess the first year we didn't have funding from Cotton Incorporated. We just did it to get a start or get a handle on it. So we've got 2 years of calibration data or algorithm, 2006 and 2007. And in 2008, we started a second experiment, really looking at the timing aspect of it. And we're really encouraged that the first 2 years, 2006 and 2007, the algorithms were very similar. So and in 2008, we started doing an on-farm sort of a demonstration research project. So the last part of this talk is going to be related to that, which is really new information. A lot of the early slides that you'll see are slides that Peter presented last year at this talk. In that 2006-2007 experiment, we had six nitrogen rates that were applied on a loamy sand, silt loam, and clay each year. Using three types of sensors, crop circle, green seeker, and crop scan. The first two sensors, of course, are active sensors with their own light source. And the last one is a passive sensor. Looking at three stages of growth, early square, mid square, and first bloom. And we were looking at the height above the canopy to see how important that was. This is a picture of the three types of sensor we use at early square. The crop scan is the only passive sensor we have using ambient light. It has multiple wavelengths and a sensor pointing up to measure amount of radiation, and of course a sensor pointing down for the canopy. I was talking to Peter about it. He said that really that sensor's worked very well, except for maybe late in the afternoon. If you're depending on the road directions you have, and you have a tractor shadow over the sensor, then sometimes that causes some problems. But being able to measure the ambient light, you see, even if you have a cloud come over, that kind of compensates for it. These are results, and we in our experiment we had different timings and different nitrogen rates, but we're really surprised on different soil types and different years how much difference there was in the response of cotton to nitrogen, and depending on the weather and the soils and all. In this particular case, the lint yield, the optimal nitrogen rates was 60 pounds. This is kind of a summary of 2006 and 7 on the three soils. You see we had ranges all the way from zero nitrogen being the optimal end rate up to 200. And generally our clay soils, or what we call gumbo soils, usually respond to more nitrogen than the other soils. I don't know if it's because the roots have a harder time extracting the nitrogen from the clay, or maybe we lose more from denitrification or whatever, but generally that's the case. And I think in our official recommendations for cotton, we have a CEC component in there that kind of takes that in consideration. But this shows, I think when the price of the nitrogen was cheap, you know, people were not that worried about it, but now we're seeing that there is a great deal of difference in the response of cotton on our soils to nitrogen. Okay, this is we're talking about in Texas and different places doing this is a graph showing the with crop circle yellow, the ratio of yellow over near infrared related to high-end rates, high-end plots. And all of Peter's tests he does, particularly corn and things, he likes to have a high-end reference strip, because you can have a situation where cotton is yellow or something like that, and it's may not be deficient in nitrogen, maybe just because of the growth conditions, but having that high-end reference strip helps take a consideration. This shows the mid-square and first flower R-squares for those things, and they're very similar. And that's one of the questions we've had, particularly lately, is you know, how late can you go? A lot of times with cotton, you can't detect nitrogen deficient early in the season. You have to wait till later, and the farmers are really more set up for, in our area, for putting the nitrogen out at first square, and that's a little bit too early to be able to detect it with the sensors. So early square readings, the correlation generally low, less than 0.5. The mid square and early flower readings were stronger, better relationship, and at early flower was actually a little bit better than mid square, and generally the later the better, but then the question is whether or not it's too late to get a response to the cotton. On the height, they found that 20-inch height above worked best, and the equations for mid-square and first square were not that different. One of the encouraging things was that the 2 years were fairly consistent too. And Peter was using NDVI and visible over near infrared, and both of those type of measurements worked equally well. Another thing he was concerned about is the time of day. If you're going to have companies or applicators doing this, they're not going to be doing it at solar noon. They're going to be going out early in the morning and in the middle of the day and later in the day. And then he was concerned about what effect that would have. Looking at the objectives, we're looking to quantify the variability during the day for passive and active sensors, and assess the variability and coming up with equations to compensate for that, or correlation equation. See, this is a slide that Lucy put together, and they did the same type of thing with corn and cotton. Unfortunately, she didn't take a picture of the cotton, so, but what they did was they had sensors, and they measured the time of day to see what effect that had, you know, leaving the sensors in the field all day and using a day logger recorded. Now, okay, this is a lot going on with this slide here. On the left is visible divided by near infrared, and then on the right is NDVI, and she's got the three different sensors here, the crop circle, the green seeker, and the crop scan. Would be solar noon in the middle here, and this would be in the morning, and this would be the afternoon. One thing we notice is the green seeker, variability, or I think it's the end rate. This would be the recommended, using the algorithms we had. You see that depending on what time of day you did would be a lot of difference as far as using the same algorithms. Here, what you really want is a flat line so that no matter what time of the day you're using the sensor, it would be the same. Peter did work on an equation using solar time, temperature, and solar radiation to improve the green seeker thing. So you see this is before the correction, this is after correction. See, the standard deviation is decreased significantly by using that equation. So even with the green seeker, there are ways to compensate for that. Another thing we looked at was how long can the sensor go before you have to go back and go back to that reference strip and to recalibrate it. And he's got duration here, and Dave and I were laughing about it. I don't know if this is in minutes or hours, but anyway, this is time. And I tried to get that from Peter, but it's showing here that the not corrected, without the correction factor in there, you start increasing your variability. So it's important. And I think some of Peter's corn tests, he'll have a a reference strip across the rows through the field, so every pass you go, you automatically go across that reference strip and compensate for it. Another thing we looked at was the effect of if you had a light rain or a heavy dew or something, what effect would that have on the sensor readings? And you see that they sprayed water here right after noon. You can see that that had an impact on the recommended rate of nitrogen using the same algorithm. So generally, having a wet canopy decreased the amount of nitrogen that we would recommend using that. So that's one thing you have to consider on that. Okay, this is really the new part, and then if you were here last year, you probably have already heard what I've already talked about. In 2008, since our equations are fairly similar in 2006 and 2007, we started on-farm study using that, and we're using the farmers using it already put out nitrogen early. This was in June the 30th, mid square, 40 acres. They applied urea with agritane and ammonium sulfate. They were 80-foot strips, alternating producer rate with sensor rate. In other words, the producer had the rate that he was planning on putting out, and then Peter, with his algorithms, went across it and determined, using the sensors, how much in different parts of the field the fertilizer needed to be used. And they were using a crop circle sensor with 20-inch canopy high, above the canopy. And you see here, this is a producer rate was 82 pounds per acre. The average sensor-based in rate was 36 pounds. And you see the blue is the producer strips. And then these there have different colors. You see these are the variable rate based on the sensors. Okay, this is in July 18th, you can see David, David Dunn put out the reference strip, and it's somewhere up here, and you really can't see it. But all across this field, there's different strips and all. But at this point in the season, we didn't. You can't aerially photograph. You couldn't even see the difference between the different nitrogen rates. The sensors say 45 pounds of nitrogen, and at this stage, we couldn't distinguish between the N rates. Okay, this is a. You can see right here, this dark green area, that's the area where we had our high-end reference strip, and this is in October. You can still see it there. David would probably better at identifying these areas than I can, but the areas that were had the variable rate, lower end rates, the cotton defoliated better, had less leaf, better leaf drop. Here in this picture here, I think, David, you took this. You see the producer rate was actually excessive nitrogen probably, or based on looking at this, whereas the sensor, there was a better leaf drop. That's just a visual observation, not anything that we actually measured. Okay, Peter called me yesterday and left a message on my cell phone. So they had, the farmer had a yield monitor on his picker, and we, just yesterday or the day before, was able to get the yield map and actually see the difference between the variable rate and what the farmer put out. And Peter was a little bit discouraged. The producer rate, which was 45 pounds more, produced 1,209 pounds of lint per acre, whereas the average sensor rate was 1,138. So that's 71 pounds of lint less that we made using our sensor than the farmer did. So, you know, of course, there was less fertilizer, but, and of course, Wayne, I think some of your LSDs were in the 50s or something like that, but Peter is thinking that, he hadn't run the statistic on it, but he's thinking that maybe the 71 pounds may be statistically less lint that we produced, which is not good. We wish it was the same or maybe more. One thing we have a question about is, if we had poor defoliation on the producer strips using the yield monitor, what effect does that trash in the cotton have? Will that make the sensor read more or less? So it may not be a true thing. We didn't actually weigh the cotton. It was based on yield monitor sensor. And another thing too is this was a field that we, the first field that we had was held out, and we had to use this as an alternate. And we're wondering, we had to put that reference strip out or high end test plot out later than planting. Ideally, you put it out at the time you plant. So, you know, there's a lot of different things going on there and, that could affect. The last thing is in 2008, we concerned that maybe our applying fertilizer at early flowers too late, that we need to put it out. And this shows that this is the green line here is this is in rate and this is lint yield. This is early flower adjusted yield rate, and this is mid square. So, you know, there's a window there. It's kind of a narrow window. You have to early square is too early to really do a good job of detecting the in response or lower in effect from sensors, but maybe early flower is too late to get your optimal yield, so that mid square may be the best time. I think I'm about out of time. Got a little bit?
3 minutes.
Okay. So in conclusion, the reflection sensors related well to optimal in rate, potential for accurate on-the-go prediction. All the sensors appear to be potentially useful. Mid-squared early flowers seems to be the best time for accurate sensor, although like that, at least the 2008 data shows that maybe mid-square to get your optimal response in nitrogen may be better than early flower. And 500 centimeters is the most reliable height with the canopy. The passive and active sensor had variability during the day, but you know, of course the solar noon is the best. And linear equations based on temperature, and Peter didn't show this in the slides, but he has that equation that helped improve the green seeker readings or reduce the variability. And increasing the duration over which readings are taken, greater area for the longer you go from going back to your reference strip. And spraying water resulted in lower in rates. Now, on the reference strip, what David did was we calculated out, I think he had 200 pounds of nitrogen you were trying to put out, and we had a 50-pound bag of fertilizer, nitrogen fertilizer, and we had it so that you know, he could just put it in the trunk of his car and go out there and count 50 rows over and 50 out. And David said, like on corn, we have a problem. You have a hard time finding that reference strip, so you have to have some sort of a system to make it easier to find that. But with our corn experience as farmers, that's kind of been a drag there, is they forget to put that reference strip out or it's put out too late or whatever. So that's going to be some of the extension education work we'll have to do on this. Any questions? Yeah. Yeah, I don't think so. I think next year we're probably going to need to go out there and actually use our plot combine, our cotton picker or something like that, and measure lint, because we're kind of in a scratching our head state right now. We don't know whether that was just variability, you know, the 70 pounds of lint. We don't know if it's because of the yield monitor. You know, we got two different technologies going on there. We don't know if the lint, if the yield, the farmer yield monitor is really that accurate or not. You know, we're really trying to pinpoint it. We don't know whether we've hurt ourselves by doing that.
One thing you might notice in looking at that day on that last slide you showed that had the two curves on there.
Yeah.
Is that like a 200-pound rate of 200? You know, there was almost a twofold difference in the data points themselves. So I'm just wondering if it's, you know, one of the things I think, and Kelly may have mentioned this earlier, I think one of the things, you know, with cotton is the trying to sense a leaf that's sitting there moving. Wind blowing or passing by, you know, in corn or wheat,
yeah,
stiffer. The canopy stability seems to be better with cotton, than with cotton. Cotton wants to move around a lot, especially if the wind blows. In y'all's area, the wind's blowing.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
In West Texas, it's blowing.
Yeah, so I don't know what the answer is, but, you know,
challenge, yeah.
You show gravel patches like being done by someone else there?
I didn't hear what you said.
You said the application, or you showed a picture of the application being done by spinner lift. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, on the farmer test, yeah.
Yeah, well, spinner overlaps completely from swath to swath. I've set them up too many times. So in other words, your gravel right application is getting interfered with this farmer's, and the farmer's is getting interfered with gravel right. You've got to use a different type of application.
David, did that picture, is that actually, I mean, was that one of those?
You've got to use an airflow or something. When you set spinner trucks over, they overlap. They don't put it down on the edge.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you have to have a swath lift and going over like that.
Exactly.
They're not.
That's not our truck, is it? That's not our truck, is it? That's not on the truck.
I wasn't there when they did that. David, you were though, didn't you?
Yeah.
Dave, that's not Helen's truck, is it? I thought they had an airflow.
I guess, though, I don't know, I wasn't there when they actually did it, but I suppose, you know, behind it, though, you know, if you're out on one side or another, it would, but right directly behind it.
Right, you may be right behind it. But
yeah.
Now you've got to take your collection of your data right behind where the spinner truck is.
Right? Yeah.
You know, and that, I guess I just caught part of the question and stuff here, and I don't want to throw gas on the fire. With those spinner trucks like that, you know, that pattern is affected by rain. And so not only is it, you've got this non-symmetrical pattern anyways, but as you change the rate that gets that spinner disc, that pattern will change also.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not so sure that even staying right behind it is going to give you the true variability.
You're going to be careful.
I mean, I don't know.
We learned a lot this year, though. Yeah, we learned a lot this year, how not to do things. So, yeah,
We got any more questions? Well, that concludes this morning's program, I believe. Dr. Harris will be moderating this afternoon at 1:30. Thank y'all.